It's Marketplace Tech for Monday the 31st. I'm Ben Johnson. It's been a few months now since the French election, but revelations continue regarding an apparent, if failed, Russian effort to sway the election towards the far-right nationalist candidate Marine Le Pen. Reuters published a story in recent days about how Facebook, among the tech companies on high alert ahead of voting in France, has revised the number of fake accounts spreading fake news there up from 30 to 70,000. Also, Facebook briefed a member of Congress and two other people about dozens of other accounts used by Russian spies to try to infiltrate and influence officials working for the campaign of now President Emmanuel Macron. This all according to Reuters. Joseph Menn is an investigative reporter with Reuters and is here to talk. Joseph, thanks for chatting.
Thanks for having me.
I imagine that some part of the cynical news reading audience will kind of snort at this and say, oh, okay, that's not surprising.
I think a lot of people are saying, well, sure, of course. You know, Russia was using Facebook to spy, and the U.S. probably uses Facebook to spy, and Facebook has a lot of information about people. And so one of the reasons to do this would be to craft a better phishing email. So you could send an email, you know, did you see this report in Le Monde that, you know, implicates you in some scandal? And you're much more likely to click on that than you would be if it was a stranger out of the blue.
How does this paint a larger picture of Russia's political interference operation, and what does it tell us about interference in the U.S. election?
It is another indicator that we're in a new era of influence operations that go along with hacking. So the big revelation in the U.S. election, and, you know, the U.S. was completely caught off guard. The media was caught off guard. The government was caught off guard. And the entities that were hacked were unprepared. You know, the French officials warned people, they warned the media not to report on things that might be false or to be more suspicious. And they warned the public that this sort of thing might be coming. And I think that was effective. I mean, I think that this is going to be the way major elections go from now on.
What's your sense of how this particular allegation, revelation from Facebook will play out?
I think it's too soon to know what the impact will be. The major tech companies play this really critical role in everybody's lives, and they don't like to make any major governments angry, and they also don't want to be seen as too cozy with any government. So it's that's why they rarely talk about any of this stuff. But I think they do a lot of this stuff behind the scenes, and I think that's fascinating.
Joseph Menn, he's investigative reporter for Reuters. Joseph, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
Man, it seems like just about a year ago we were celebrating the 50th anniversary of Star Trek and anticipating a new show from CBS sure to get fans of the franchise excited. It was called Star Trek Discovery, and it was going to be huge, wasn't it? Wait, where is it? Well, there's been some television industry wrangling, and earlier this month at Comic-Con, we got a new trailer for the show. Oh, right, this is radio, so you can't see that it says Netflix Original on it. But it's coming out every week, and also will be on CBS's streaming service All Access. Why is this so confusing, and what does it tell us about the television business these days? Well, University of Michigan media scholar Amanda Lotz is the author of the book The Television Will Be Revolutionized. Amanda, thanks for talking with us.
Glad to join you.
So this is a really strange arrangement. How did it come about? Why did it come about, in your view?
A new edition of Star Trek isn't something that fits the CBS brand exceptionally well, and that's why they're probably putting it on CBS All Access. This is a property that has a rabid fan base around the world.
Yeah.
If you wait a year, a month, even a week after you air it in the U.S., you're going to lose that audience because it's just going to be pirated.
And there's also tremendous potential upside for Netflix as well, right?
In terms of their international viewership, certainly. The other thing to keep in mind, though, is that, you know, I think this is a very strategic and responsible move on the part of CBS to recognize that you can't hold content back anymore in the way that you used to.
One of the interesting things about this to me is that it's going to stream via CBS in the US weekly, which means it will also appear on Netflix weekly.
I suspect there were significant negotiations around that point, and I would not be surprised if we see some changes. So I think for the US audience and in terms of Netflix originals, we're used to always having that full season dump, but that's not necessarily the norm around the world.
You think it's possible this will go in reverse. Essentially, it'll start out as a streaming product and it might then go to broadcast?
I think it's possible. I think the true fans of Star Trek are going to watch it as soon as it's available. But that might not be the best way to reach your full audience. And if it's available in the CBS library or in the Netflix library, its value is really much more about encouraging subscription to those libraries.
Anything else about this deal that you find suggestive of where this could all go?
This seems like a move that could force people to choose if they don't want to be paying for CBS twice. And so to me, it's surprising that they would be using exclusive content, especially something as high profile as Star Trek in this way.
Amanda Lotz teaches communications, media, and the future of television at the University of Michigan. Amanda, thank you very much.
Always my pleasure.
You can always get more from us. We are at Marketplace Tech on Twitter, at facebook.com/MarketplaceTech. And yes, we do have a whole series on Star Trek's 50th anniversary last year at MarketplaceTech.org. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.